the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation. We created the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation so you can magnetize the better relationships you want and focus on the positive role that you have in creating a better life through your relationships. We are excited for you to discover the gold within you that can help you manifest the love we all crave. The Building Better Relationships Journal has coaching questions that help you listen to the truth of what you want and what helps you to be empowered in love. The Building Better Relationships Meditation is designed to strengthen your heart's ability to be that change you wish to see in the world. Why not download it now and think of it as a gift to those you love? If you love journaling and meditation, this is for you. Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty podcast. This is Patty, a leadership and work-life balance coach from Arizona, USA.
And this is Angela, love and relationship coach from Sydney, Australia. And we are building better relationships with you.
Sharing new perspectives on being heart-centered at home and at work.
So you can draw on your inner power to make your relationships and the world a better place to be around.
Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty. In this podcast episode, we have a special guest, Melanie Shires from Biz Coach Mel. Melanie, otherwise known as Biz Coach Mel, is a nonprofit marketing director and Arizona State University business development mentor who provides key business development and digital marketing strategies to help those she teaches launch their ideas, build their business, accelerate revenue, and drive brand awareness.
Over the last decade, Melanie has helped multiple entrepreneurs either successfully transition from corporate executive positions to business ownership or move their ideas from concept to realization, facilitating business plan development, system and process application, and modernizing the way they market their business and brand with digital marketing strategies to maximize their bottom line. By providing interactive workshops, premier one-on-one coaching, and collaborative and entrepreneurial communities through her business, Collaboratory, Melanie helps entrepreneurs build, launch, and grow businesses they love.
Welcome, Melanie. We're so glad to have you here today.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Melanie, please tell us and the listeners about you, your journey, and why you became so passionate about business coaching and digital marketing.
Sure thing. So my name is Melanie, and as you guys pointed out, I go by Biz Coach Mel because I do love helping entrepreneurs and particularly startups with building, launching, and growing their business. I have been a marketer for over 30 years. I've worked in all different capacities. So I've worked in corporate in-house marketing departments. I've also worked in an ad agency as a director. I've been an entrepreneur myself, a consultant. And right now I work for a nonprofit. And in addition, I work with ASU student ventures and startups to help them build out their business plans. So yes, I've been in marketing. I know all about marketing, but building a business is more than just marketing, right? So there's a lot of components that go with it. And especially when people are just starting out, a lot of them need to, you know, find out how to navigate the challenges that come with basically taking a concept and building it out to make sure that it would be a viable business, and then market it, launch it, and then hopefully after a while get to the point where they can scale and grow. And that's where I come in and help.
Sounds awesome. So Melanie, you said there's a lot of components in setting up a business. What can you share about the perception part of someone who's wanting to move from working in corporate to business ownership? What would you like to share about that shift in the mindset?
Yeah, well, the big shift is right in the name, right? Ownership. So now, instead of you working for someone, giving all of your energy, effort, and expertise, usually with a group of people, in order to bring to life your company or your organization's missions and values and goals, now it's about you doing that for yourself. And so there's a lot of components that go into it. So for example, let's just use someone like a hairstylist, right? So someone who is very, very good at doing hair, and they have lots of clients, and they charge a lot because, again, they are experts in their field. Well, all they really have to worry about is making sure that they satisfy their clients, making sure that they do the best job that they can. They listen to their clients. They give them great styles. Their clients are going out and essentially being their billboard for them. People are like, oh, your hair is fabulous. Where'd you get it done? Oh, I got it done at Angela's, right? But now, if you are going to open up your own salon, now you have to deal with everything in addition to doing good hair, right? Now you're going to have to deal with hiring, disciplining, coaching, you know, individuals, other stylists. You're going to have to worry about marketing so that people know that your salon is there and why they should go to you as opposed to someone else. You're going to have to deal with interfacing and dealing with vendors, right? So now you're going to have to get all of your supplies and work with those vendors and try to get the best deals. You're also going to have to deal with, right, rent and water and electricity and all of those expenses that come with having a brick and mortar location. So again, when you're thinking of working with someone, you're giving your all, but you don't have to worry about all of the other things that go behind the scenes to make a business run. That's where those processes and procedures come into play.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about when you're going into ownership, and there's a quality of being responsible for it. I think that might be something that people shy away from. So when you're doing a business and you're often an owner and you're on your own, this is interesting what you're sharing. In contrast to that is a collaborative entrepreneurial community. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what is a collaborative entrepreneurial community and how that's perhaps something we need in our current environment, our current economic environment?
Oh, absolutely. So just as I was saying, when you work for an organization or a company, you automatically have a community, right? So you have your coworkers that you can bounce and share ideas off of. In fact, the best organizations and companies, they champion, right, being very collaborative and working together or interworking with different departments and teams so that you can, you know, come up with these great ideas and become innovative. When you're an entrepreneur, a lot of times you're by yourself, right? So it was really important for me as an entrepreneur to connect with other entrepreneurs or other self-employed individuals so that we could share ideas, share resources, and even sometimes, you know, align with what we were doing so that we could give each other business or refer to each other. So it's really important that entrepreneurs have their own community so that they can share ideas, get, you know, feedback and insight when they come up with a new concept or something. Also so that we could share resources, right? And again, like I said, even align on projects so that we can help one another. And that all helps with the economy, right? Because again, right now there are more entrepreneurs than ever before. And so we are part of this U economy, right? Where it's individuals as opposed to a part of a collective of an organization or business. So it is really important that we help out one another so we can build up together.
And that's how Melanie and I met.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both of us being coaches, and she did the coaches lounge And that's how I met Melanie.
Yeah, I'm really big on, and Patty knows this, I'm really big on, you know, getting, you know, groups together and these, you know, communities. And so Coach's Lounge, I have another one called Collab and Coffee. So it's the collaboratory name of my business and coffee. And even me and Patty, we would meet at coffee houses, right? So the group, the Coach's Lounge, we would meet at different local coffee shops. This was pre-COVID, but we would meet at different coffee shops. And again, it was really nice to meet face-to-face and exchange and share with one another. You can still do that online. We do that now online as well. But again, it was really nice to start that up. And then it grew as, you know, more and more people heard about it. So
awesome.
Yeah. And she always picked the best coffee places. It was so much fun. And it was fun sharing with other coaches and just getting to know Melanie and Cammie and Davina and others.
Yeah. Well, it was really cool too, because we were helping Patty, right? We would go to these different local coffee shops, but we were also helping these entrepreneurs. Once again, small businesses, you know, it would be really easy to go to Starbucks, but instead let's go to, you know, Jared's, right? Let's go somewhere where it's locally owned. And we can also, so it's entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. Loved it.
It was great. Can't wait to get together soon again. So Melanie, how do you see customers changing the way they make purchases and relate to businesses these days with all the different changes of how we do business?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, think about yourself. I think about myself. Like now I want everything right to me and personalized, right? So now businesses have to be very savvy with, you know, online, communicating, being able to offer things online, because people want things now, right? They don't want to wait like how we used to. Now everything is, you know, I want it today. I want to be able to be in my home. So if you offer any kind of product or service, like we are coaches, so, you know, I want to be able to do things over video as opposed to face-to-face. So I think that it's really important when businesses are thinking about marketing to their prospects or potential customers and clients, that they understand the importance of digital marketing and online offerings, content marketing. All these things are part of digital or online marketing, which you're going to be able to outreach and gain momentum, gain your followers, be able to engage with your potential clients and customers quickly and easily, because everything now is digital.
And Melanie, do you find that a lot of entrepreneurs are sort of wasting a lot of time generating content, or how do they get that right sort of balance of just generating content or their marketing versus generating services and products for their clients?
Yeah. And this is one of the things that I like to educate people on, and especially, you know, entrepreneurs, right? People who are new or startups. It's understanding your business first, being able to understand who your client is or your potential clients, where they are, and then creating the content, right? And I always tell people to creating content, it should be about quality over quantity, right? So again, when people say, oh, you need to make sure that you have content out there on all your social channels all the time, every day, that's not true. What needs to happen is you need to identify who is your ideal, you know, customer or client. So you do kind of like a persona on them. Who are you trying to reach to? Who wants your products and or services? And then you find out where they are. You know, maybe the people that you're trying to outreach to, they're only on LinkedIn and Facebook. They're not on Instagram. They're not on TikTok. They're not on, you know, Twitter. So you're not going to waste time trying to create content for those social channels. Also, I always tell people it's always should be value and quality over quantity. So it's much better that you, and consistency is important. So that is an important thing, but it's the quality and consistency. So again, you want to make sure that you're giving quality. So I would rather see, and think of yourself, right? You would rather see content once a month that's really good content that gives some kind of insight and value to you than being inundated, right, with content that doesn't matter, that you care less about. You can tell that someone's just putting something out there just to put it out there. Over time, you're just going to ignore what they're putting out there, right? So it's not good content. So you're not going to even be concerned with it, because we have very short attention spans. And so it's always better to have less content, but more valuable content out there.
Thanks for that, Melanie. That's really great advice. So also there's a lot of things that a business owner has to do. Why do you find that the business owners have difficulty with work-life balance or work-life aligning their work-life balance?
I think there's tons of reasons. Just like you said, there's so much that goes into running a business. I will say, because there's so much, we could be here for 2 hours talking about all the reasons why, you know, business owners have a hard time with work-life alignment. I think the biggest misconception a lot of people have is when they first start out, they're like, oh, I want the whole reason why I want to work for myself is because I want freedom and flexibility, right? I don't want to work that much. I want the freedom and flexibility, not understanding that usually the first few years, you're going to be working more. And the reason is because you're trying to build you're trying to build awareness, and that takes time. That is not something that happens overnight. And even if you have investors or you have venture capitalists that say, okay, we're going to infuse the business with X amount of dollars, it's still going to take time, right? The first few years, you're going to be working a lot, so that over time you are working less, because now you're at a point where you're growing your business, right? You've already built it, you've launched it, and now you're seeing the residual, you know, the residual income of your, I guess, effort is the best way to say it. But I will say, with all that, I would say it's probably because a lot of entrepreneurs are really, really, really poor with boundaries. And the reason why I say it, like I said, it's a lot of things, and the misconception is one of them. But I think the biggest thing is that we're notorious as entrepreneurs for setting and keeping boundaries. A lot of the reason for that is because what we do is very mission-based. Most people are working for themselves, doing something that they love to do. And it's very mission-based, right? So you want to go above and beyond for your clients and your customers. And so a lot of times you love what you do, so you don't even think of it as work. However, there still needs to be boundaries, especially with our clients. When it comes to payment, when it comes to, you know, here's the project, here's the scope of the project, client agrees with it, we're all on board, but then they keep asking for more and more and more things. And we say, oh, we can just add that. And we'll just add that. We'll just add that, right? Because you want to satisfy your client, not realizing that you adding anything additional to the initial scope of the project means that you're sacrificing more time. And you can do that if it's also you're getting paid for that. So that's where it comes in. A lot of times, you know, business owners, particularly those that are in service businesses, less with those that have products and services, because it's pretty self-explanatory, right? But with services like coaching, it's very easy to get caught in doing a little extra all the time. And then you look up and you've added 5 or 6 hours of unbillable, right, work. And so that's pulling you away from other clients, that's pulling you away from, you know, your personal life, your family, and you're not getting compensated for it.
And that's so true, Melanie. You know, Angela and I have talked a lot about, you know, a lot of coaches or people in the service type business, they're people pleasers. Mm-hmm. And they're in that profession to help people. So you sometimes, or a lot of times, do more than you really should, or you don't get they get more value from you than you're actually charging.
Oh, absolutely.
And we have to work through that, not to go there, especially if you want some work-life balance or harmony or alignment.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing too. Let's just take the money out of it. Because some people are like, look, I love what I do. And that's the whole point, is like, I want to help people not just build and launch and grow, but build, launch, and grow businesses they love. So it needs to be something that you're passionate about. So when you're passionate about something, you don't look at it as work. So it's not where it's like, oh, I've got to do this extra thing. You don't look at it that way. You look at it as, oh, well, I'm going above and beyond for my client, and not realizing that if you don't have those boundaries set, then you're cutting into your personal time. So like I said, even if you're taking the money aspect out of it, you're still giving up of your time that you could be spending with your family, your loved ones, right? Or even if it's just you love gardening on the weekends and now you can't do that because your weekend is now, you know, taken up with additional work that you're not getting compensated either monetarily or for your time.
I love that explanation. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Melanie, tell us a little bit about what makes a business owner's brand the soul of their business.
Well, I would look at it this way. You're most entrepreneurs and business owners, their values are wrapped up in their brand, right? Not all, but I always talk, you know, when I'm trying to educate, especially students, and they're putting together their business plan, I always call it a business blueprint, because it should be something that's a living document and it changes as your business changes, right? And I always talk to them about the soul of their business within their business plan, because that consists of their MVVG, which is their mission, their values, their vision, and their goals, right? And values is a big piece. And a business has values, but a lot of times if you're an entrepreneur, or it's you're the founder of this business, then your personal values aligns exactly with your business values are your personal values, right? And so when you're building your brand, it just, again, your values are going to align directly with that brand. For me, my brand is I want to help people. I want to help entrepreneurs in particular, educate them, build, launch, and grow a business they love, right? Something that they love to do, not just build, launch, and grow businesses, but something that they're passionate about, not someone who's maybe a venture capital, you know, so they have a lot of businesses. They build them, they launch them, then they move on. They sell it and then they start again, you know, build, launch, and then sell it. That's not what my brand is about. My brand is about collaborating. That's why it's called collaboratory. Again, a lot of my values is tied up in that brand. And so in the marketplace, my clients or potential clients understand, will resonate with that, because they resonate with my values because it aligns with theirs, right? And so that's where, okay, if I know I really like a brand, just think of brands that you like personally. You like a brand, why do you like them? Because they align with your values, right? They do. Or else you would be, oh, I really love such and such, you know, they align with your values. And so that's why it would be considered kind of the soul of the business, because it is part of the values of the business, which in turn, a lot of times aligns with your personal values if you are the founder.
And Melanie, so that touches on why people need a business coach. So could you share what someone might benefit from having a business coach like yourself when they've got a business starting up?
Yeah. So I like to say this all the time. I mean, even as coaches, you guys understand coaches need coaches, right? So
yes,
I look at myself, you know, as a guide, right? And, you know, I always use the sports analogy, and it's very easy to use a sports analogy when you talk about even the kind of coaching that we do with businesses, because it's so true. You have an athlete who is obviously very well trained and versed in whatever sport they're doing. I'll use my son for an example, because he actually is a baseball player. He's a pitcher. And so, you know, his whole life he's been training to be at the point that he is right now. and he's really good at pitching. He knows all the aspects of pitching. However, he is not going to be optimal on his game every game without having that coach that's going to help him tweak his already God-given ability, right? So he's got this God-given ability, but he has actually more than one coach to help him tweak every little aspect of his pitching game, right? How to exactly throw it, right? That's one coach. Then there's another coach of how you communicate with the catcher, right? You know, another one that's going to teach, okay, how do you utilize your body so that if you're pitching and you need to throw it to a base really quickly because someone is trying to steal it. So it's three different coaches for three different aspects of his expertise. So it's the same thing with business, right? So, you know, especially if you're starting out, there's so much to think about when you're navigating the waters of business ownership and you're starting out. So you're like, where do I even begin? So a coach can actually help you to, you know, kind of step back and look and see what are the steps that I need to take first, right? And kind of get you to like, by a mile it's trial, by a yard it's still hard, but by an inch it's a cinch. What do I need to focus on inch by inch in order to get to that big picture? And, you know, a lot of times I start with people looking at, again, their business plan. It's so easy. And so many people want to jump in. I've got this great idea. I know exactly what my logo is going to look like. I know exactly how my website's going to be, the colors, the feel, the look, the aesthetic, all that. And that's great. But you need to sit down and really go through, is this a viable business? What's the business model? How are you going to make money? How much does it cost to, you know, put out into the marketplace what you're considering, right? What's the competition? What makes you different? Why should people go to you as opposed to your competition? You know, all these things are so important to answer and really have solidified on a document that you can go back to as your guiding light before you start spending money on marketing and all these other things. But that's not the fun stuff, right? And so that's where a coach would come in and kind of help guide you to hold yourself accountable to do those exercises first, so that if you need to shift or change a little bit once you do your market research and you see, okay, well, I have all this competition and what does make me different? Why would somebody, you know what I mean? Like really doing those exercises will help you so that you make really good business decisions later down the line, right? You're not throwing away money. You're not marketing to the wrong people. You know that the business that you, the idea, let me put it this way, the idea, the concept that you have for a business is viable. It will actually make money because people actually want it. That's another thing. You know, and I've fallen into this too. It might be something that I want, but I'm not the market, right? So it's like, I might like these colors, or I might think that this is a great idea. We should, you know, somebody should, you know, put this out in the marketplace. But just because I like it doesn't mean that it's something that is sticky, that, you know, a lot of people would want enough to warrant someone spending the money to build and launch something to get any kind of return. Hopefully that answered your question. I know that was pretty long.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of parts, as we said earlier, but it's almost like the business coach, if you want to hit the ball, mm-hmm. you need to know what you're hitting, and that's the business coach is going to help you see what you're focusing on.
Right. Yeah. And you know, there's like so much. So it's kind of like, where do I begin? You know, it's overwhelming sometimes. And for some people, it's so overwhelming that they stay stagnant. They really, really want to transition from, say, a corporate job into business ownership. And they may have a great concept or even product. There might be somebody who makes like fabulous cakes and people keep telling them, oh my gosh, you should go into business. You know, they've made wedding cakes for friends and family and, you know, neighbors, and everybody, you know, rants and raves, and they're just stuck of actually, what are the steps for me to not have this as a hobby anymore, but this actually as a viable business? I know that people want it. I keep getting, you know, asked to do this by tons of people, but how do I actually make it from a hobby to an actual business so that I can step away from my corporate 9 to 5?
Mm.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming at the beginning, but to have somebody like you, especially, you know how to, for startup businesses, get the ball rolling and not make it so overwhelming for that individual that wants to take their hobby to the next level. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and it's also too, we get inundated because again, a lot of people are marketing their products and services, right? And so when you're starting off, everyone is telling you to do things this way or that way, or you need to have this app, you need to, you know, market, you need to pay for paid ads. No, you need to pay for Facebook. No, you need to, you know, there's so many different things being thrown at people until it's really hard. And a coach can kind of, you know, again, get you to step back and look at all the steps. I always like to say it needs to be very simple initially. All these services and apps and things that people are saying about how they made money and why they're doing so well now, those are all very good and they're viable. It's not that people are lying. It's just that they're not letting you know that, okay, they're now at chapter 20 and you're at chapter one.
Right.
Yeah. So what you're doing at chapter one, you know, they're at chapter 20. So of course they can spend tons of money on ads because they have 19 chapters right in place. So they've built up. They're now at the scaling, you know, growing phase of their business. They're not at the building. And so I like to tell people, and this is something to keep in mind for those people that are thinking of starting a business, are entrepreneurs themselves. And because I've been in marketing for 30 years, I mean, there's tons of things you can spend money on. And yes, you do need to spend money on marketing, but be smart about how you spend and when you spend money on it. So I always like to say, you need to have a business plan. You need to have it outlined because that is going to help you make better business decisions, right? It'll be very easy for you if you know your mission, your vision, your values, and your goals, and you know them very well, to be able to easily say yes or no to things when they come up. So we all know as entrepreneurs, when somebody else, we start talking and sharing with somebody and they're like, oh, maybe we should partner up and do this. Okay, if you have a business plan, then you can see, does this align with my mission, with my vision, with my values, and with the goals that I've set out for the next 6 months, 12 months, right? 2 years. If not, then it'll be very easy for you to say, that sounds so awesome and cool. However, right now that's not going to be good for me because, and then you'll have exactly what the reason, because you have your business plan done. The second thing that I always like to say is, the thing, if you're going to spend money with marketing, you need to first spend money on your website. Reason being is because your website is the landing place for everything, right? So, and you don't have to spend tons of money on websites. You can actually build your own website, right? You don't need to spend money for a marketer or an ad agency to build a website with all the bells and whistles. In fact, a lot of websites are not effective, even if they are, have all the bells and whistles, because the whole point of a website is so that when people find you, they know what to do so that you can convert them. So they, it needs to be a convertible website. You can convert them into a client or a customer, right? And so I think that's the thing. In fact, the simple, the simpler, right? The cleaner, modern, and with direct call to actions on it is actually better. And again, optimizing with the right keywords and things like that. So focusing on that. And the reason why I highlight websites is because even if you have a strong brand presence socially, you don't own those social platforms. So that's another thing that I try to explain to business owners, that yes, you may have hundreds of thousands of followers on a social platform. Ultimately, you want those people on your site. Why? Because you don't own that platform. So what if tomorrow, poof, something went away? I'm not saying that it will happen, but what if, right? Or they decided to change things. That's where your following is. So you need to make sure if you have a following that large like that, that they, you're always driving them from that social platform to your website. So social platforms are tools that help you get people to your landing page or your website. That's where your people should be. That's where you should be collecting and have your, you know, your clients, right? Those were your CRM or your content management systems need to be attached to your website, right? Because you own that. So if you're going to spend money initially, make sure you have a good optimized website, right? And then everything else, the social channels, as we talked about earlier, like I told you, Angela, like, you know, then yeah, put content out there on the social channels. Just make sure you're consistent. Even if you're putting content out there once a month, once a week, twice a week, whatever you can do that provides value and that you can do it consistently. Because another thing that a lot of people do is they'll start off and they'll post things every day, right? And they do that for 3 weeks and then they fall off because, again, you know, posting every day may not be in the cards for them, even if you have a social media calendar. So you might have a calendar set up that automatically posts for you, but you still need the content. So for me, I always tell people, look, make sure you have valuable content, right? And even if you say, okay, I'm only going to post once a month, that's 12, right? So you can write 12 really good, solid, whatever, articles or whatever, so that you can build that, you know, you can be a thought leader and make sure that it's valuable to your potential customers or clients. And then they'll want to learn more about you. And then you can keep relinking to those same articles, right? But it's about having value. Because again, I know for myself, and think about yourself, like I know for myself, if I'm inundated constantly in my inbox with stuff that doesn't matter, it's just going to go straight to a folder and I'm never going to look at it, or it's going to get deleted.
Yeah.
But if it's something that is valuable, that catches my attention, and then I read it, I'm like, wow, I learned something from that. Or wow, they really gave me good. That is what true content marketing is. It's about the value that you're bringing. It's not just about the quality, the quantity, right? How many times you're posting. I want to see something that's going to stop me and be like, wow, I really like that. Let me, you know, bookmark it. Let me go back to it. Actually, let me even use some of these insights as I'm writing my own stuff. And then I can link back, which is going to only help you from an organic standpoint when you're doing content. So those individuals, businesses, and organizations, think about it, that have a lot of people who are engaging with their content, it's because it's valuable. That's another thing. It's like another thing I tell businesses too. It doesn't matter how many people are following you. It matters how many people are engaging with you. So again, there are businesses and organizations that will pay for followers. I will always stand against that. Do not do that. It is better to have 50 followers that are true clients and customers than 5,000 that are never look at your content, care less about your content, and they're really not potential clients or potential customers. Really, you want your tribe to be your followers because, or potentials, right? These are people who are interested in what you have to sell, right? They're interested in your services. They're interested in your product. And they're going to tell others in their social networks, right, about you. So now you're going to build that way. That is how you build organically. And organic is always better. It's just a long game. So a lot of times I will tell, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs, yes, you can pay for advertising. And I do think, you know, paid ads and stuff like that are important, but it's all to build the long game, the organic, right? They need to work in tandem because, and it was set up that way. That's why the algorithms are set up, the Meta algorithms, the Google algorithms, they're set up specifically. So it's not just about what company or organization has tons of money to just pay for ads. There's a reason, right? And so it all ties back to organic, right? Keywords, you know, what are people searching for? Are you, the content that you're putting out there, is it valuable to the people you're outreaching to? And that all has to be in alignment, or else, again, once again, you're just going to be throwing money and it's not going to stick.
That was really helpful, Melanie. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Yep.
So here's our big question that we normally ask people about: how does digital marketing build better relationships with your sole clients and customers?
Well, digital marketing,
let's tie it back into
just what we were talking about, right? Yeah. The wonderful thing about digital marketing and the reason why it's so successful, really. I'm not saying that other aspects of marketing, you know, obviously, you know, relationship building is in many forms, right? It's not just digital marketing. So you can do, you know, billboard, TV, you know, that kind of thing. You can also, you know, do network marketing. That's really important to getting out there and being in groups and, you know, I always like to say shaking hands and kissing babies, that kind of thing. It is really important to do that. But what digital marketing does, it is data driven. And that's the only one that's data driven, right? Really data driven. So you can see real time, right? Who you're outreaching to, where they're coming from. If they're landing on your website, because everything is tagged, you'll know exactly where that traffic is coming from, what social channels it's coming from, how well your ads are doing, you know, what are you saying if you're A/B testing? Okay, let me test this, you know, subject for an email marketing campaign against this one, which one does better? You can see real time from data with digital marketing. Also, digital marketing offers the opportunity to be extremely personal and customizable, I guess, with your potential clients and customers. So again, I can see things that I care about. So I know for me, I love it when I look in my feed and I only see things that are pertaining to things that I care about, right? Digital marketing uses behaviors, right? What are clients or customers' behaviors? What have I searched in the past? You know, what do I tend to like? What websites do I tend to, you know, go and look at? Those types of things all help when you are putting together a strategy for digital marketing on who to go after, because they would be more likely to like your service or your product based on their behaviors, right? And so that's something very different than traditional, right? Advertising, like, you know, TV, radio, billboard. We don't, you know, it's not personalized. You know, I can, me and you, Patty, and you, Angelo, we can all be looking at the same ad in a different way because it's differently marketed to all three of us. So it could be the same pizza place, but because you're searching for, you know, a pizza place near you, I'm searching for the best pizza place, you know, in the valley. And then Patty might be searching for a pizza place that only has, you know, or that has and offers, I don't know, cauliflower crust. All three of us are searching for three different things. And the same pizzeria, Michael's Pizzeria, may pop up for all three of us with three different messages that are going to be very personalized to all three of us based on what we searched, right? So there's going to be an ad talking about the different types of crust, even, you know, cauliflower crust to Patty. Me, it's going to talk about how Michael's Pizza was voted number one 5 years in a row. Right. And for Angela, it's going to be right here. Right. It might be maps that pops up because it's going to show where Michael's Pizza is because she wants something close by. So that kind of just is an example of how digital marketing can now be so personalized until, I mean, again, and now that pizza place can get three clients specifically because they talked to us and we felt like they were talking to us directly.
Amazing. So it's very personalized at this stage of our society. So Melanie, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and 30 years of just experience. So that was amazing. So how can our listeners find you and contact you about any of your services?
Yeah, so I can be reached very easily. You can go to my website at collaboratoryexperience.com, or really easy to reach me, just go to LinkedIn and go and find Melanie Shires and you'll see me. I have contact information there as well.
Melanie, is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
I think I've covered a lot. I guess what I would say is, you know, if you have an idea, if you have a hobby that you really, really love, and, or, you know, if you're really thinking about, I really want to start a business, or if you already started a business, you're an entrepreneur who may be struggling a little bit with, you know, you're being pulled in 17 different directions, you don't know really where to go. I would say it's always good to outreach to someone who is a coach, a mentor, someone who can help you to kind of, you know, pull back from the mile, it's a trial, yard, it's still hard, down to the inch. Like, what do I need to focus on? You know, I need to be held accountable for setting up boundaries, those types of things. So I would say it's very important, whether it's me or someone else that helps, that understands business, marketing, and also is coaching and mentoring businesses.
Thank you, Melanie. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Please share this podcast with others, follow us on Spotify, and check out Melanie's services. And we'll have Melanie's contact information in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Building Better Relationships with Angela and Patty. Send us a message and please like or share the podcast or donate with the Anchor Donate button. We really value your feedback.